Hi, Ken. Thank you. And hey, Barb, if you're still here, I really enjoyed Ken. Jay, I so enjoyed everybody sharing this morning. The message was particularly helpful to me, meaningful to me, and really so much. Coordination and intermingling of these teachings that it's almost impossible to keep up with the synchronicity of it all. I just simply accept that it is at this point and don't try to strain my little mind too much trying to figure out how all that's possible, but it is because it happens a lot. Probably all the time, but unless my attention is focused there, I might not notice that. But I did notice it a lot today. And one of the things that that Barb had shared, let's see if I can find the reference in Experience Your Perfect Soul. Let's see quickly if I can find that. Hang on, have patience. Oh, yes, here it is. Barb was talking about or reading from the idea of judging by appearances, noticing how someone looks. And she shared about the homeless person in downtown Portland as she was on her way to and from doing something. And I also had that same experience, except I was in the car waiting at a red light on a corner in downtown Tampa, Florida. And same kind of thing, a homeless person who had just woken up from sleeping right next to a very busy road. And was packing up his backpack to made it to the corner, as my husband and I were the first also to arrive at that same corner, and he immediately was gesturing that he was hungry and was looking for rations, and noticing within myself in that moment, and reminding myself. To break the habit of seeing that appearance as the truth of who he was, when in fact that's the biggest lie. It's not the truth. And reminding myself to keep my focus, to keep my attention in my own mind, to keep my awareness aware of these things that are arising, these judgments that are arising, those habits of what seem to be the human, my human existence, my conditioning, that little self that has formed opinions and judgments and commentary and wants to chime in right away, seeing itself as different than this this person before me right now, and noticing that in that awareness, aware that I'm aware that there's judgment going on. Aware that I'm aware that that judgment is actually meaningless, except as a tool to help me to remember the truth of who I am. And therefore, that is the gift that in that moment I give to this seeming outward appearance. And how much better that gift is as an energy than, giving any credence at all to the old habit or what seems like the more prominent habit, or what has been the more prominent habit of judgment in a way of keeping separate from, or seeing apart from, or being different than. That is not in service to the one at all. And so break that habit simply by resting in the awareness as often as I can possibly remember, even if the appearance is upsetting or grim or deathly or sorrowful or sad or. Because there's a million ways in which deception seems to occur. So, yeah, at any rate, just an observation that, and something that we had in common, Barb, and you voiced it, and I am saying it also happened within my own mind. And I was happy to choose quickly within that situation to remember the truth. It's leaves, and I'll just put it this way, a better taste in my mouth. Yeah. So we've been reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is a joyful path to self-realization. And this book is a compilation of direct path quotes. Powerful quotes by W. Norman Cooper, Catherine Piedrick, Joel S. Goldsmith, Eva Bell Werber, William Samuel, Elise Morgan, and Ruby Nelson. And we've been reading from Chapter 6, which is Ruby Nelson's section, and the quotes were taken by Michael Langford from Ruby's book, The Door of Everything. And I have been reading from the section called The Total Stillness. The Total Stillness. And I'm going to go back to page 199, where it talks about this total stillness as it does not speak to you with words to be heard by your ears. It is a voice to be felt. A vibration as sweet and unmistakable as the music of the spheres. And I've noticed this week, while I'm working on my art, I have wanted to listen to music. And my husband and I have watched American Idol, which most of you are probably familiar with. It's a music show, a competitive show, where they pick the best singer from a random choice of people who audition. And my husband and I have been very moved by some of the music that we've witnessed, and the movement is a heart movement. It's a reflection of joy and heartfelt knowing within oneself, within these contestants, that is transmitted, you know, through a vocal ability, and is heard by my ears over this thing we call the television, but yet is experienced in my heart as I feel it was meant to be. And so when my husband has the same reaction, it's a wonderful confirmation of the gift of that sharing. And so it doesn't make me feel as guilty about watching TV, which I don't really do too very much. And it's more of a relaxation and again, a drawing this week in particular to music. And so when my husband suggested, hey, we should watch some American Idol, I right away agreed. And then when the heart was touched, I knew it was the right choice. the mind was still aware of the tendency to be slightly distracted from full purpose, but it really wasn't. It was all things can be useful. So, with that being said, I'm going to start at the very top of page 200. I believe I read that last week, but I feel like I want to read that again. Never hurts to have a second dose of it. But I'm going to take a quick drink of water first. And also quickly, humbly surrender. Into I don't know. And I'm fully open to whatever may arise and willing to share that here right now. So practice page 200, top of page 200, and experience your perfect soul. Practice is the answer to anything that seems difficult, as you know so well. The painter would never learn his skill if he did not practice. The swimmer may become a champion, but not without continued practice. The carpenter's house may not be perfect if it is the first one that he has built. Even the farmer with his tomato patch may grow more luscious fruit after he has gained the experience offered by the first attempts. When you tried previously to receive my inner guidance, did you listen once or twice, perhaps without much hope, and then give up in peace? I'm sorry, and then give up in doubt? Again, when you tried previously to receive my inner guidance, did you listen once or twice, perhaps without much hope, and then give up in doubt? If so, practice is the answer. Sustained, sincere practice, which can become a delightful habit in almost no time at all. If you cannot quiet your ruffled feelings enough to be still and listen, while you practice, you might pray for me to help you. Think of the beautiful peace that passes understanding, and let your prayer be one of trying to comprehend this inner peace. And again, it's the beautiful peace that passes understanding. So this one that would have ruffled feelings would be the one who's paying attention to the feelings as if they're meaningful and allowing further thought to occur in support of the ruffling. The justification of why I, who is this I, that would be ruffled? Is this I the feelings? Would a healed mind be ruffled by feelings I'm aware of? Or am I allowing the, I like when Regina calls it, she calls attention the arm of consciousness, like an arm of consciousness. Am I allowing the arm of consciousness or my attention to drift from pure awareness into a feeling or into another thought about the feeling or into a story associated with the feeling? You know, where is this attention being absorbed or focused? And being aware that I'm aware of doing that and withdrawing that attention and returning that energy back to the awareness that is aware. And it's saying with sustained, sincere practice, not just listening like once or twice and feeling as if the guidance isn't clear and giving up. It's saying practice is the answer, the answer. And it's telling us it can become a delightful habit in no time at all, because what is received in that quiet space, that silence, that open receptivity, is the love that you are, the truth of who you really are, the direct experience of the truth. The real source of all your power, all your joy, all your calm, the calm absence of turmoil. I mean, what would not be delightful about connecting with that calmness that rests underneath, you know, what this is called, you know, the web of creation, the web of making, the web of entanglement, the web of looking outward, the web of suffering. Our feelings confirm how unfortunate that web is. And underneath that sub-creation, underneath that is this practice that we engage in becomes a delightful habit, because we experience in almost no time at all the gift that brings. And there's that yearning to stay there. Why not? It's so much more pleasant. We know what the other habit gives. And at a point, we're just not as nuts anymore to keep going back there. Here, let me beat myself up again today. Oh, joy, oh, joy. It's a big lie. So we're not as willing to return so willingly. Instead, we're aware that we're aware of this attentive arm that is habitually geared toward looking outward, toward looking at the thoughts, toward looking at the myth, the self construct that isn't true. We just become more aware that we're no longer to believe in that myth, to engage in those feelings as if they're really true and me. There's no me with it anymore. So again, if you cannot quiet your ruffled feelings enough to be still and listen, while you practice, you might pray for me to help you. Think of the beautiful peace that passes understanding, and let your prayer be one of trying to comprehend this inner peace. Top of page 201, which is new. We haven't read this yet. You will soon understand that your still small voice has two aspects to its nature. It redirects you when you wander, just as reliably as it intoxicates you with its guidance. As the voice of your redirector, you recognize it as conscience. Again, as the voice of your redirector, you recognize it as conscience. You know, that voice that pops up right away and says, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but, you know, and then we make the choice. I'm either going to do it anyway, or I'm going to be aware that I'm aware of this redirector that is giving me another opportunity to surrender to the conscience that will be still, listen, pray for help, rest, accept, trust, that conscience. So again, as the voice of your redirector, you recognize it as conscience. Since you have felt the sting of conscience, it is obvious that your still small voice is easier to hear than you may have thought. The voice of conscience is not a dictator to which you must feel enslaved. It is a tender guiding friend. It is holding you by the hand while you learn to walk with me. You need only turn to it, to trust, obey, and love it. And your receptivity will increase until you never have to doubt that my wisdom is guiding you infallibly. Conscience does not condemn you for the mistakes you make. It merely helps you find the way again. And that reminds me of the piece from A Course in Miracles that says something like, "Trials are but lessons presented once again. So where you made a faulty choice before, you have the opportunity to choose again." You know, something like that. And this is, to me, saying the same thing. Conscience doesn't condemn you for the mistakes you make. It merely helps you find the way again. It gives you another opportunity, another chance to see where you made a mistake before, and you noticed because you were aware enough that you allowed your attention to go off in maybe a habituated personality way. You allowed it to react in a familiar personality construct sort of a way. You recognize it as a tendency of an individuated human construct, whatever it might be. And you see this new opportunity before you, showing you the same mistake presented in a, you know, in a new present moment experience, and you recognize because you're more aware. Ah, here it is again. Here it is again. But this time, I'm going to allow the redirection, the right-mindedness, the upward living choice to choose again and ask, you know, what would I do here? What would you have me do here? Be present and available to listen for the direction, the guidance. You know, what am I supposed to say or not say, do or not do? Be led. I choose the second place to gain the first. Be led. And it says the wisdom that will occur to you in that resting place where you're not doing anything, you're simply being willing, the wisdom that will guide you is infallible. Infallible. And that word, infallible, I'll tell you a funny one, just on a personal level, in the story of Kathy. I was the Catholic girl who was always questioning. And it didn't go over well for me in Catholic grade school with the nuns. I remember once asking when there was a new pope that had been elected, and the nuns were going over that notion of the pope being infallible. My little childlike small mind, who knew not of the truth of my own infallibility, is the same as the truth of the Pope's infallibility, neither having anything to do with a human form or a position or a title, entitlement or a title in the world, could not understand how a human being could not make mistakes, because I knew in my own little mind that I was certainly a sinner, that I did, you know, lots of bad things, that I was, no way could I wear the crown of infallibility. And so when this nun was trying to seemingly cram down my throat that this pope was infallible, what I refer to now as my bullshit alarm, was dinging really loudly, and I just didn't believe her. And she said something to me like, if the Pope says that black is white and white is black, you are to believe that. And my little girl self was, I didn't really respond to her except in my mind. And my mind was arguing with her to the nth degree. I so didn't believe her. I so you know I so, so when I when I see the word infallible now, I can actually let go of all of the old associations I have with that word. And know that the truth of that word is in fact still true. It reflects adjoining with Sister James Marion, adjoining with the form of her, the image of her, the memory of her, the past of her, all of which don't exist, aren't even true. It's just a crazy construct. That seems to be pushed up here and there with these things we call words. But I'm acknowledging it because it's funny now, and I can see infallible in a truthful way, as a reflection of my truth, her truth, my truth, the Pope's truth, everyone's truth. That awareness that's infallible. It knows of not of the idea of mistaken. It knows only itself as truth. There's nothing other than that. So yeah, just a funny little aside story about infallible for me. The me that doesn't exist. Conscience does not condemn you for the mistakes you make. It merely helps you find the way again. Give thanks for this masterful light of wisdom from the mind of me and watch its value to you grow. What a sweet line. Give thanks. And again, gratitude was one of our ascension attitudes, love, praise, and gratitude. So give thanks, give gratitude for this masterful light of wisdom from the mind of me and watch its value to you grow. In its other aspect, as intuition, the still small voice can lure you upward like the sweetest beckoning song. Luring you upward, and so much for me in this Ruby Nelson section. I've enjoyed that idea of upward living. It just feels the same as right-mindedness, awareness, aware of awareness, staying centered. Yeah, upward living. So, in its other aspect, as intuition. And Regina also calls the Holy Spirit intuition. The still, small voice can lure you upward like the sweetest beckoning song. With the help of intuition, the surface self, and that's that, you know, again, that surface mind, that web of creation under which lies this wisdom, this pure, unaffected, unmanifest, available, infallible guidance. So with the help of that intuition, the surface self will come to realize what a hopeless task it undertook in trying to manage the affairs of life without omniscient mind. And that's what Reverend Jacqueline spoke to exactly this morning, trying to live without an omniscient mind from that small will, that will that still, that voice that's still trying to convince you that it knows something, what you should be doing, what your plan should be, what you should say in the sanctuary today. Reverend Karen Worth was sharing with me today. We meet for a class every day. And she was sharing how her little voice was trying to prepare her for what she would be saying as she was recording our Thoughts of Awakening meditations, our half-hour meditations. And her little spiritually, the ego trying to usurp the present moment by deciding ahead of time what she would say into the recorder 25 minutes from now when she records a new series of Thoughts of Awakening meditations for us. And she noticed it. And she said, the interesting thing is that when she stays in present moment awareness, which is how she starts that meditation off, asking us to be right here, right now, with nowhere to go, nothing to think about, nothing to do, no preparation for, just right here, right now. She said, as she actually is mindful of her own instruction, that what actually comes forth in that present moment intuition is not what she was thinking about 25 minutes prior in preparation of what she was going to share with us. How different it comes out. And we had a good laugh about it because I definitely have made that same mistake myself. Noticed myself thinking about what I was going to say or share. You know, is that really true? Is it really possible in this present moment experience, being right here, right now, is it possible to seemingly recreate a conversation I had in my own mind of imagination about what I was going to say? I, you know, even as I'm trying to tell you that, it doesn't even make sense. Yeah. So with the help of intuition, the surface self will come to realize what a hopeless task it undertook in trying to manage the affairs of life without omniscient mind. You know, Reverend Jacqueline was speaking about how the little self thinks that it wants certain things, and it wants them in this order, and it wants them to happen in a certain way, and it wants it, you know, usually right now, according to its own dictates. And that somehow, if it doesn't go that way, there's a sense of suffering or sacrifice or anxiety or lack of control or uncertainty or, however it appears for us. And within that appearance is the opportunity to notice, hey, I'm aware that my attention, my awareness, the arm of that consciousness is wanting to control, is wanting to have an outcome appear. And I don't have to do a darn thing with it except notice that. And return that attention that has been displaced momentarily and ask, what would you have me see in this that I have not seen before? I may recognize a habitual personality pattern. Or, all of that. I may see that, but I don't want that anymore. And I'm not going to use my intellect or my past, which doesn't really exist, or anything I think I know, anything I seem to understand as the light to guide me now. So, shine your light very bright for me. So let me take a quick drink. So the day will come when the door is opened and its threshold is repeatedly crossed. Sometimes the footing may be upset by a tinge of doubts or an absence of humility. But this high-level footing can be regained through quietness, faith, and confidence. I like that. High-level footing. High-level footing. It's like, again, that upward living. This high-level footing can be regained through quietness, faith, and confidence. Hell is within you just as surely as is heaven. Hell is the realm of the independent surface mind. The level in consciousness on which all dwell before discovering and entering the door of everything. Hell is on your side of that door. Heaven is on my side. And this last piece is called The Door of Everything. And it's actually the very last page in this chapter 6 of Ruby Nelson. So this will conclude chapter 6 with Ruby Nelson's Door of Everything. And it's aptly entitled The Door of Everything. And lo and behold, it starts with the word surrender, which has been talked about all morning all morning. Surrender indicates humility and willingness to lean upon my wisdom and my strength. Surrender indicates humility and willingness to lean upon my wisdom and my strength. Walk with me straight through that door and watch in exultation as your humanness is dissolved. Everything is not many things. It is one. Everything is love. Love as you have never known it or imagined it to be. Life is light, and light is love. Come, meet me just inside the door of everything, in my timeless realm of being, where all the perfect qualities of your grand cosmic self will intersect and blend into one precious jewel. The precious jewel of love. Again, meet me just inside the door of everything, in my timeless realm of being, where all the perfect qualities of your grand cosmic self will intersect and blend into one precious jewel, the precious jewel of love. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, guys. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I just want to go right away, just be completely quiet. But we are here in the sanctuary, and I will go into chapter 7 which is Elise Morgan, knowing full well that, the door of everything is open. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. Can you play a song? That would be great. I would really appreciate that. I'm going to give up the mic so I can just sit in silence and take that in. Thank you. Hi guys, can you hear me again? Thank you so much. That was perfect timing. I absolutely love that song. It was very nice. I appreciate it. Thanks guys for being here with me. I'm going to give up the mic to Miss Becky a minute early. I'm sure she won't mind. Have a lovely day and I'll talk to you soon.